Today's shiur was sponsored by Mrs. Paulina Zimmerman for the quick and safe return of all of our hostages.
Amen.
And it was sponsored by Mrs. Yael Cohen as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Paulina. Thank you, Yael.
Thank you, Natalie, for having
always.
Okay, I have some goodies for you today. Some goodies. Maybe a little bit of art at the beginning, and if there's time, a little bit of music at the end. And in between, we'll learn to try to understand what the painting is about and what the song is about. But you probably saw, because this was posted, I think it's something which actually inspired the shiur that I'm about to give you, and you saw it on the flyer, whatever it's called. This is from our own Zali Ritholz from Shul. And Zali just put this out last week. And it's about Mishnichnas Adam Arim B'Simcha. But behind that mask of Simcha, we're all in tremendous pain. And this is an unbelievable, to me, it's an unbelievable tamsit, like a summary that captures everything that we're feeling and we're going through. So I want to talk about this. That's what this year is going to be about, to explain this. Explain his painting, and then maybe this time a new song at the end. Shiva Hadasha. So we have this chus of living through an Ivyar, a Shana Muberes, a leap year. The word Muberes, as you all know, also means like a woman who's expecting, a Muberes. So it's a year that's filled with expectation and hope. And the Gemara tells us that Mishnechtes Adam Arim B'Simcha, that when other arrives, we increase the joy. And that has a certain bearing in halacha as well, upon halacha. So there's a question that's discussed among different poskim and mukubalim, that when we have a year like this, when there are 2 months of Adar, so what is the meaning of Arim B'Simcha? Is it the same joy in other Aleph and other Beis? In other words, some more of the same Simcha? Or is there something different between other Aleph? Is there a difference between other Aleph and other Beis? The first month of Adar and the second month of Adar. So in order to answer this question, we need to talk about Simcha. Since Mishnechnas Adam, Arim B'Simcha, so let's talk about Simcha. Mishnechnas Adam Arim B'Simcha. The way that we grow up and we're used to living is that Simcha is the result of some type of wonderful external event or some stimulation from outside that's caused to rejoice. The person himself or self is more like a passive spectator. A passive spectator that's like a bystander or a spectator that's waiting for something happy. That's waiting for something good. A simcha, good news, a promotion, whatever it might be. But the person is waiting for something that's going to bring that simcha into his or her life. There are different types of events that take place in the course of our lives, in the course of every day and week and month. Some of them are misameach. Some of them generate joy, marbe, simcha. And there are others that unfortunately cause tsar. But this is the way that we grew up and went through, and we go through life, longing for and hoping for days and events that make us happy, that are going to bring happiness. Now, with these 2 months of Adar, with the 2 months of Adar, the second month of Adar, the second month of Adar that we're going to be entering into soon, is Baruch Hashem. It's filled with Purim. It's Purimdik. And we understand that since there are things that are misameach that happen during the next month, mimela, the result of it is ma'ar misimcha. If somebody's making a bar mitzvah, or a chasana, or whatever it might be, so then you're looking forward to that simcha, and we're looking forward to Purim, and we're looking forward to the month of Adar, and we're ma'ar misimcha. So the question is, what exactly is the ma'ar misimcha during this month that we're now going through, this first month of Adar, when there's nothing really happy, no particular celebrations going on? There's some people that are making simchas, but on the calendar, there's nothing that's woven into the Jewish calendar in other Rishon. We have Purim Katan tomorrow night. We'll talk about that at the end. But we don't have any external simcha to look forward to on the Jewish calendar to bring a simcha in other Alam. So here is the Oymek, the depths of this month of Adar Aleph, and the Avodah of the time that we're living in right now, really a lot of what this means. Adar Aleph is suggesting to us, is to each and every one of us, that it's possible to have a different perspective, a different way of looking at this inyan of simcha in our lives. It's possible to have a different way. That maybe simcha is not just about experiencing something from outside or the result of something wonderful that takes place. And being being more of a passive person who's waiting for simcha. But rather that there's an objective, a goal, or a mission during this month of Adar Aleph to create simcha. As opposed to waiting for something wonderful to happen. And something exciting on the calendar, something different in our lives, that the month of Adar Aleph is a time to create simcha. What do I mean by that? We're not clowns. So what does it mean to create simcha? What's creating simcha? So a person gets up in the morning and you say Moida'ani, and it might be that already from the moment you open your eyes, you wash, you say Moida'ani, you wash your hands, you're already thinking about all the different things that you have to do during that day. So there, you have to see this person, you have to go to this class, you have to go to their work, you have to call this person, you have to text, you have to email, all the different things a person has on that list. It starts to buzz around in the head when you wake up in the morning. It could be that the inyan of the avodah of Adar Aleph, that this time of that comes every once in a while, every few years, that the avodah of Aleph is that Hashem Baruch is whispering into the ear of a Jew when he wakes up in the morning, that on that list of things that you have to do today, you also have to be happy. Just put it onto the list. It doesn't have to dafka between 8 and 8:15, but dafka between 9 and 9:30. But the same way that you feel responsible, that you feel an achrayis, you feel a chiv, simcha is a midah. The samachta b'chalta, Hashem Yisbarach wants us to be b'simcha. If duas Hashem b'simcha means that it's a very big part of our avodas Hashem. Avodah means it requires work, concentration, and it's a responsibility, it's an achrayis. And the same way that you don't wait for those other things that you have to take care of that day to happen to you, because if you do, you're just going to lie there in bed and wait. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to be able to take care of the family. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're not going to be able to make a breakfast, a lunch, or a supper. You're not going to be able to do anything. If you're waiting with all the other things that are on your list, even with all the technology that we have nowadays, sometimes, I don't know if you have ever felt this, sometimes it's late and you're exhausted, and then there's this thing that I didn't brush my teeth yet. Just like something dumb like that. And then I have this thought that it's 2024. Can't that happen? Isn't there some sort of a technology that will just come down from the ceiling and Then I'm thinking about it. Could it get very messy and have to do that? And those things in life that we have to take care of, they don't happen. It doesn't just happen. There are a million things that we have to make happen, and they're not going to happen if we just lie there passively as spectators, waiting for something to be mekabel something, it doesn't happen. So the same thing when it comes to Simcha. It's true that by the if you have on your calendar, there's a chasna, or there's a Chanukah, or there's a birthday, or whatever it is, a yontif coming up, so you have that circle, and you wait in anticipation for that to happen to you. You're going to wait for that Simcha to happen. You can't make Chanukah before Chanukah. The whole week we're chalishing for Shabbos, but you have to wait for Shabbos. Shabbos, you can't make it happen. It has to happen to you. But when it comes to this mitzvah of Simcha, and maybe the chiddush of Mishanichnas Adam Marvin B'Simcha, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that I created this month called Adar Aleph, and I'll explain it now more in a deeper way what this means. Yeah, I created this time of Adar Aleph, and I'm telling you that Simcha is not just something that is on the calendar, something that you wait to happen to you and to participate in when it happens because of some external event, some milestone, whatever it may be, and that you just sit there like a chefzer, wait, Purim has arrived, so now you get dressed up and you have your Simcha. But Adar Aleph is something else. Adar Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to you is that Hashem is saying to each and every one of us that He wants us to have Simcha as a tachlis, as something that we can do, that we could bring about. I think even Jews who are not religious, it could be that even a lot of people who are not Jewish at all, know that there's a famous song that one of the first songs that we ever heard, probably Jewish songs, is Hava Nagila, right? Now there's an interesting story behind that song, Hava Nagila. It was originally a Chassidish nigun. There's some debate between different Chassidus and whose nigun that is. I'm not going to go into that. But it was originally a Chassidish nigun. And then there were Chalutzim, there were non-religious pioneers who took that and they put some words to it. The words don't have anything about Hashem. But there are a couple of very, very good words in the Hava Nagila, if you think about it. Everybody knows the words, I suppose. I think even people who aren't Jewish can sing it. But one of the sentences is, Uru Achim, I'm saying you're right, it's been a long time, but Uru Achim Liot Sameach. Uru Achim. Wake up, brothers. Uru Achim Liot Sameach. Hava Nagila. What does it mean, Hava Nagila? Let us rejoice. Hava Nagila. Nismacha. Uru Achim. Uru Achim Liot Sameach. Wake up. Get up. Uru Achim Liot Sameach. So, this is not allowing Jews to sit and wait for the happiness to arrive. But it's calling out to each and every one of us, Urach. And they weren't thinking about necessarily in Kedusha, but they were talking about being happy. Urachim liosamech. Now let's try to understand the shores of this. This is the hypothesis of what this month is about. It's a month of Urachim liosamech, when you don't feel like being happy, when you feel like crying and falling apart, and you don't know how to do this. There's a month Hashem gave, especially, and it's very, very deep in you, Davke. It has to do with the alignment, the realignment of the sun and the moon, the solar calendar, the lunar calendar, and so on. That is a different shiur. I've spoken about it over the years. That probably is a bunch of shiur on Shana Mubarak. But Bo'emek, we see the teaching from the Kedushas Levi, from the Holy Badishara. The Kedushas Levi tells us that the month of Adar corresponds to Yosef Atzadik. There are different ways that, that each month, the different Shvatim, so on, that Adar corresponds to Yosef. And that's why the month of Adar, he says, in Pnimius, is the Ibiyar, is a leap year, because the whole Metzias of Yosef, the name Yosef means to add. And the name that he was given by his mother was Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. She was davening, his name is Osef Elokim Ischer Pasi, but Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, that he brought about that Bakosha by Binyamin, from Rachel Yemen, of Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, that may Hashem add another child to my life. And because of that, the B'dishiva says that the 2 months of Adar correspond to Yosef HaTzadik, because Yosef HaTzadik is one person, but we count that we count Ephraim and Manasseh as 2 months. In other words, it's Yosef, but we count Ephraim and Manasseh, which are 13. Altogether, it means there are 13. Now, we have 12 Shvatim, but Yosef is divided into Ephraim and Manasseh. Therefore, by an Ibiyur, by a leap year, so we have the month of Adar, Adar Aleph and Adar Beis, which is Manasseh and the oldest, Manasseh and Ephraim. So that's why there are 13 months, and that's why that's the time of the Kedush Levi says, that's why there are reasons in Halacha, but that to have it close to Pesach, but that's why in Pnimius, the time of the year where the Sanhedrin would make the leap year is Davka by Adar, because it's 1 month that becomes two. So it's built into the month of Adar is Ribui, is Marbim Mesimcha. The same reason that the Mazel is fish, because there are a lot of fish, they multiply. V'yid Gula Rov Bekerav Arutz. It's to multiply. V'yid Gula Bekerav Arutz. So the 2 months of Adar is the Sod of Yosef Atzadik. Why is Davki Yosef Atzadik? So Mitzad Echad, we see that the Pasuk says, Vayi Hashem as Yosef, Vayi Ish Matzliach. And Hashem was with Yosef when he was in the house of Potiphar. It says that he was an Ish Matzliach. That Yosef Atzadik was a successful person. Hashem Ito, Vayashir Hu Oseh, Hashem Matzliach. Yosef Atzadik was very successful. And therefore, due to his success and due to his reputation that he got and his popularity before things went bad, due to that, Yosef HaTzadik had reasons to be besimcha. So that really corresponds to other beis, right? Which is the time of Purim. So there were reasons in Yosef HaTzadik's life that he was matzliach. And when a person's ish matzliach, he's doing well, so there's a reason for him to be besimcha. Hashem ito, Hashem hosa, Hashem matzliach. On the other hand, Yosef HaTzadik did not wait for the good times to come. Everybody knows that Yosef HaTzadik went through terrible, terrible difficulties, went through terrible sorrows. And he was torn away from his family, he was sold by his brothers, and so on, and all that happened to him. And he didn't wait for Simcha. He worked for Simcha. And we see that in the name that he gave to his oldest son, to Menashe. Kinashani Elokim Eskol Amali Eskol Beis Avi. If we would translate that into modern terminology, it would be that Yosef HaTzadik was thanking Hashem for helping him to overcome the trauma of what he had experienced from leaving his father's house, being sent away from his father's house, and all that he had been through as a young man. Kinashani Elokim. Nashani is a lashon that means to forget. So it doesn't mean he forgot his father. Okay, Nashani, it says, Ki Nashani Lokim, as called Amoli. Amoli really means all my hard work and all my suffering and difficulties. Ki Nashani Lokim is called Amoli, as called Beis Avi. So Yosef HaTzadik went through very difficult things as a young person, as a teenager, as a young person. And everybody here knows that there are many, many people, some maybe here also right now, and to some degree all of us, who get stuck in certain pain that we experienced when we were younger. Now that's infinitely multiplied when it comes to Chalilat and Lo Aleinu. I'm just dealing with a situation, a crazy situation over the last 2 days. But there's a person, there's a child who was, God forbid, was molested. Oh, what are these chever going to be going through, the ones who are taken hostage? Hashem should bring them out. They shall be free and healthy and strong. And there was a clip of this boy that he's playing with his friends, and he was a hostage. And I'm looking at this kid, he looks like he's normal. How could he be normal? So, like many of us, what his mind will do, it'll find a way to continue on, to try to block out. Maybe at some point, maybe not, but usually at some point, you remember. And when you remember, you're stuck. It's very, very hard to be free of that. So Yosef HaTzadik experienced terrible trauma. And when he says Ki Nashan Lakim is Kol Amoli is Kol Beisavi, he's saying Vershalom, I'm naming this son Menashe, which means to forget what happened to me. Because I'm asking you that through this joy that I'm working so hard to experience joy by building a family, help me to be free of the past, to be free of the horrors, of the memories, of the pain, of the disappointment that I experienced when I was growing up. Help me to be free of that. And that's the name Menashe. So the name Menashe is Yosef HaTzadik worked hard for his Simcha in life. He worked hard for it. He worked hard. It's true. He had success, which was for a very brief time. And then again, he was promoted after he was taken out of jail, and he became like a big knocker in the tzai. But the mitzvah is that Yosef HaTzadik was a person whose entire life was about fighting against the memories that were painful and trying to achieve, to create, to generate a type of joy. That corresponds to the first month of Adar. So we have 2 months of Adar because there are two phases in the life of Yosef HaTzadik. On the one hand, it's like just like all of us. On the one hand, he had some good times, and there were good things in his life, and he was Nish Masliach. That's more like Purim. Good things happened. There's a lot to be happy about. And Yosef HaTzadik appreciated the simcha of his life. But there were many, many things and that's Adar Beis, that's like Purim. But there are many things in Yosef HaTzadik's life that were very, very painful and very difficult. And Yosef HaTzadik had to fight very hard to be able to make Simcha to something which was a goal and an objective. I hope that most of you, all of you, read Viktor Frankl's first book and second book, but Viktor Frankl's whole mahalach was that a person can only, as somebody who was in Auschwitz, the only way he developed this whole logotherapy, that the way to survive is by being focused on objectives and goals that would give his life meaning. And that would be able to somehow, in concentration camp, to muster up enough hope and the possibility of joy that would make it possible for him to go on. There was a great tzaddik, I've told this story in shul a number of times, there was a tzaddik of Gordel Eisner. He was in like 5 or 6 concentration camps, and then he came to himself. He was a Geruch Chassid, he became the Mashpia in the Chiddush Rebbe Yeshiva in Tel Aviv. And somebody told over a story that he was in one of the concentration camps together with Gordel Eisner. And he was a young man, and he didn't want to live. He just wanted to give up. And when you wanted to give up in concentration camp, it would only be a very short time till you would die. So this, he said, as a young man, this person wrote that he couldn't go on. He just couldn't continue. And he just plopped down. Now, they had to get up because there was a call, and they had to get up, and he was sitting down. And Gordel Eisner went over to him and sat down next to him. He didn't know him, but he saw that he was giving up, this guy. So Gordel Eisner went over to him and said, "Can I tell you what you're thinking about? I know what you're thinking about." So he looked at Gordel and he said, "What am I thinking about?" He said, "You're thinking about how when this is finished, you're thinking about the menu you would like to have at your chasana, right?" He said, "What?" And he said, "And also probably thinking, should I have 2 guys playing in the klezmer in the band, or maybe it's too expensive for my parents, so maybe I should just have one violinist, not 2, right? This is what you're thinking about?" And he said, "I looked at Rav like he's an absolute lunatic. So that's what I'm not thinking about." He said, no, "And you're thinking about chicken, meat is expensive, but maybe you'll try to spend for the meat." And then Rav Gordel Eisner walked away. He gave him like a slap on the back and he walked away. And somehow he survived. You know the next place they met? They met in Yerushalayim at a chasana, at his chasana. And how Rav Gordel Eisner found out and went, they both survived, and Rav Gordel Eisner went to the chasana. And he said, "Thanks, you remember? Fleischigs, violins, you remember?" So there was in the life of Yosef HaTzadik and other Aleph and other Beis, and so it is with us. There's an other Beis when good things happen, and yippee, and then you're happy, and life is good. and you're in a great mood. You're in a great mood. But then there's just a gloomy day in the winter. When you wake up and Hashem is saying, Zadar Aleph, I want you to put on your list of things to do today, things that are misamech, something that's going to be misamech you. Or simcha itself, an internal, a deep internal simcha to think about the brachas that you have in your life. And if it's hard for you to do that, then go out and buy a dress or something. Do something to make yourself happy. Do something to make yourself happy. Rabbi Nachman said, that even Mishtosim, as long as it's not against the Torah. But even if it's something which is silly, the ikir is to be mesamech yourself. Simcha, the ikir is simcha. And maybe we understand that that's Menashe is the hard work of simcha, Yosef HaTzadik working to be free of the sadness and the misery and the trauma. That's Menashe. That's other Aleph, when a person has to work hard to be the simcha, because there's nothing happening that's particularly happy. And then other Beis is Ephraim. Ephraim means Hifrani Elokim. Hashem has made me great. My life is Givaldi. And Hifrani has the word Purim in it, right? Hifrani is the word Purim. Hifrani Elokim Baraj. And that's why it says in the Megillah, V'hayomim ha'ela niskarim v'nasim. These days of Purim are niskarim. They will be remembered and they will be observed. So maybe just by way of a hint, it's possible to say by Yom Ha'ilin is Karim V'Nasim that the first month of Adar, the Avodah is remembering this Karim, thinking. Because there's nothing particularly great that's happening. Again, there should always be good things, but it's just a dreary month without any holidays, anything. So then the Avodah is in this Karim, to try to remember. Try to remember what you have in your life and all the brachas of your life, and try to remember to work on the Midah of Simcha. And then the second month of Adar is V'nasim. Then we have Purim. Then there are good things that happen. Now, I mentioned Rabbi Nachman. There's a very, very famous story from Rabbi Nachman that I'm sure many of you know, that there was a poor Jew, I mean, personal, had mamish nothing, and he found a very, very, very valuable pearl or a gem of some sort. He found this. But where he lived, in the shtetlach, over there, there was nobody that was a maven, that was an expert to be able to estimate how much this is worth and how rich he was. So he decided he was going to travel and to take a boat to some place with a big city. And over there he'd be able to find mevinim, mumchim, that would be able to look at this and he'd be able to find out how much it's worth and to make money. So he went onto a boat without any money to pay for the trip, because he was going to be a rich guy. And he was able to, you read the story, I'm sure you remember the story, the captain was not a lover of Jews, but he was able to convince him that you're going to make a lot of money off of me because I have this valuable thing and it's going to be very, very good for you and so on. And he was taken by him and he agreed to let him on. And his intention, of course, was to sell this and to make money and to pay for the trip. But what happened, of course, to this Yid, unfortunately, is that we're told that one day in his cabin, while the boat was on the ocean, he was enjoying himself. He had a very good meal that they brought him. They treated him like royalty, and he took out his diamond, his stone. He took this out to admire it and to look at it, and he had a little bit to drink, and he had something to eat, so he fell asleep. And whatever happened, the waiters came in, the guys were cleaning, they didn't see this stone or something, and they came in, they just closed out the tablecloth, and they opened the window to the ocean, and that's how they used to clean, and they dumped out all the stuff into the ocean, including the diamond. So what happened? The guy wakes up, and he understood right away, well, and he said the following, this is maybe Nachman's story, he says the following, I mean, it's originally in Yiddish, but the Hebrew translation is, Ach, kishehikits mishinasa, when the poor guy woke up, the haven calls her, and he understood what happened. Hailot tsar gol. A terrible, terrible tsar, anguish. Hailot tsar gol. Ukimat sheyotsami daito. He almost lost his mind. Kimayasa ato. What's he going to do? Haria kapitan. I don't have to translate. The captain. Hugazlan. The captain is a thug, a thief. Sheyarago, so who's going to kill him? Bad michir hanesir. Because I can't pay. He's going to kill me. he's sitting there in this terrible matzav. So this is the next sentence. This is historic, this next sentence. Al kein osa es atzmo sameach. That's strange. Al kein osa es atzmo sameach. Therefore, you could translate this in different ways. You could say he acted as if he was happy. You could say he made himself happy. Osa es atzmo sameach. Ukilu la eradavar. The simple pshat that they say is that he was mechazik himself to act as if nothing happened, to just go about his business as if nothing happened. Oses atzmo sameach. Now, we might think that the truth is that he's really faking and it's just make-believe. In other words, that the true story is that this is the poor man. This is the poor man. But in order for him not to get killed, he was trying to figure out some strategy. So he put on a happy face, right? He just put on a smile, and he was faking to make believe so that the guy wouldn't catch on, and he'd somehow get to the shore, maybe a plan to find some other Jew somewhere and to get some money. But when we look at how Rabbi Nosson understood this, and other tzaddikim, the story, and it's quite clear, when you continue on in the story, just reading through the story, it's very clear that he wasn't faking. Maybe that first moment, us as Atmo Sameach, it had to be artificially produced. He had to dig up some mask of Simcha. But when you continue on with the story, you see that he worked on it, and he was Be'emes Mamish, in a place of unbelievable Simcha, and unbelievable Bitachin. And as a result of that, Sof Kol Sof, I'm not going to go through the whole story now, but you could find it 1 second, or we have the safer 1 second. And the end of the story is that there was a whole mice with the captain, with him. He made even more money than the stone was worth afterwards, and he lived happily ever after. He became a big veer. So that those words, osa es atzmo sameach, those are historical words. Just think about that. Osa es atzmo sameach. He made himself into a person that is besimcha. In other words, it didn't happen to him because the matzav of his life, the actual condition of his life, and the prospects of his life were horrible. This was Yosef in the bar, right? Yosef mamish in the pit. So this poor guy that just had his whole future thrown out the window, so he's mamish in the pit. And his avoda at that time was osa es atzmo sameach, to somehow to try to free himself. To free himself of that horrible reality that he was in, of what would have normally been just a yeush, a complete and total despair. To free himself of that, osa atzmoi sameach. I mentioned the hostages before. It's on our minds 24 hours a day. What's it like sitting there like that? You know, I've read autobiographies of some great people like the Sharansky and others who described to us what it was like when they were going through that time. And I've had conversations with people who were in jail, and what they tried to. What they tried to do, and I grew up talking to people who were in concentration camp. I still talk to my mother. Well, Hashem should be able to continue for a long time. Mm-hmm. And people who went through things that are beyond anything we could imagine. And what were they thinking? What were the thoughts? That's what Rabbi Gudel Eisner went over to that yid. He said, chasna. Right, you're going to get married. Oh, what a collar you're going to get. What are you thinking about? How pretty the collar's going to be? What are you thinking about? So you can look at this and say, okay, listen, you're just talking about being concentration camp. You have no idea what I went through today. I've been through a really hard time today. Like I lost my job today. Right? So, every person goes through those days of Yosef in the pit. Every person goes through days like this, Ani, where you feel like something you wanted very, very much and that you thought was going to bring you happiness gets tossed out the window. Also is Atzmo Sameach. He didn't wait. Because if he would have waited, we would have gotten killed. And Rabbi Nachman is telling that to us. If you wait for joy, you're going to die. Don't wait for it. Don't just circle a couple of days on your calendar. Or, when will I be happy? If I get married, I'll be happy. If I have a kid, I'll be happy. If I have a panosa, I'll be happy. If I have this, if I have that. Because there are always ifs. And when you get that which you wanted, there's always other things that you're hoping will make you happy. Because you find out very quickly that what you thought was going to bring you the biggest happiness in your life is not necessarily bringing you to the happiness that you're hoping for. So then you have to think of something else to make up that will, something will happen to you that's going to bring you to a place of simcha. Rabbi Nachman is saying, listen, Chevra, you wait around for that, the captain's going to shoot you in the head. The Yetzirah, the evil one's going to just kill you. The avoid of a Jew is, and so Rabbi Nachman's whole mitzvah is, oses atzmo b'simcha. Oses atzmo b'simcha. He made himself b'simcha. He made himself b'simcha. And really, that's what Purim Katan is about. That's the first month of Adar. Making yourself b'simcha. The only thing that we have about Purim Katan in Shulchan Aruch, it's the last din in the first section of Shulchan Aruch, of Aruch Chaim, the last din in the whole first volume, the first section of Shulchan Aruch. But there's a question, is there a mitzvah to eat? It's like any kind of a special meal on Purim Katan. That's the question. So there's different opinions. Is there any Indian like to celebrate Purim Katan? That's an interesting question, right? So what's the conclusion? The Ramah brings down the following words based upon a pasuk. V'tov lev mishta tamid. A person who has a good heart is always celebrating. So in other words, the Shulchan Aruch Hasani Ramah is saying, no, Akasha, you're asking me Akasha, is there a mitzvah to celebrate on Purim Katan? Okay, you can talk about that. Yeah, something like this, something like this, something like that. And then Ramah just ends Shulchan Aruch and he says, listen, Chevra, the toiv leiv mishta tamid. If you have a good heart, meaning it doesn't mean that you're kind. If you are mesemech yourself, toiv leiv. If you're not waiting for Purim, toiv leiv. So the Rama says mishta tamid. Every day is cause for celebration, not just every day. Toiv leiv mishta tamid. Tamid. You don't have to take a bottle of wine. You don't have to have a whole fancy meal. You see that even amongst ourselves, what's going on with the eating and the restaurants and the gashmis and the stuff, there's all kinds of crazy things that are going on. And you look in any of the Jewish magazines, there's crazy things. Where people are looking for things to be misamech themselves. Looking for things to be misamech themselves. People already got their Pesach things already right now. But, to look for some new place that this is going to be the pen. They tell you this is the Pesach of a lifetime. And they say, have you heard of these places? I thought I knew a little bit from the map from when I was in school. I never heard of these places. They found that they found a way to bring Jews to some remote island from the Greek islands that other Rishon never even went over there. And they find ways for Jews to make money off of Jews going to these places. Because this is going to be the Pesach of your life, the Pesach of your life. It's going to be the most expensive Pesach of your life. This here you're going to have Simcha. There's not in your house. Not in your house. Your house. Not in your house. Not with that menu. You're going to have simcha over there. It's the opposite of what Rabbi Nachman is saying. So look at the Torah that you have, on the page that you have. It's in the second chelik of Likutei Moran. You see where it's circled? Chav Gimel? I'm sorry, not all of you have. You can share. Where it says Chav Gimel on the right side on the bottom. It's a tiny little Torah, but it's packed. We're only going to learn a few lines of it. You have a chance at home to learn the whole Torah. It's not long. You don't have it? Why is this? You're already happy. We didn't even learn it. It makes you happy. Look what Rabbi Nachman says. Vini Nasimcha. Regarding the matter of joy, al pi marshal shel lefamim ksheb bnei adam smeichim erachtim. He says sometimes that happens when the Jews that are happy and they're dancing. As I choytfim ish echad mi bachutz. Whenever there's a simcha, even though it's simcha's Torah by chasna, there's always somebody that's just like sitting and not dancing. Not because of health or age. I mean, obviously, or you're tired. The person's tired, or they're older, they're not well. Of course, they can't, or they shouldn't. But, no, like there's just somebody that's holding out. Right? Always. There's always heaven like that. So what do you do? So Rabbi Nachman says, I choit from Ishech and Rebuchut. Grab the guy. Choit from. It's chatuf means to be kidnapped. Choit from, you grab the guy. Choit from Ishech and Rebuchut. Shul ba'atzko samar shcher. Grab the guy that looks like he's depressed. Grab him. Umachnis him ayso ba'al karcho. And force him, l'sarch mochal him rakim, into the circle of dancing. Force him into the circle. Umachrichim also ba'al karcho, shi yasameach imahem. You will force him to be happy with you. Kein yesh b'nina simcha. And it works. Kein yesh b'nina simcha. I had to speak someplace out of town a few years ago. And I was saying a whole thing. And also we're talking about simcha. And then I told the guy to start playing Enigma. And there were like a few hundred people in the crowd. They're like this. Like clapping at me dancing by myself. Like this. And I just said, what's going on over here? And I had some rabbis also on the side, and I grabbed the rabbis. No, I didn't grab the rabbis. I left them over there, and I went down from because it was on like a stage, and I went down to the island, and I grabbed the chavim. I started pushing people and pulling, and then this one pulls that one. Within three minutes, I don't want to say which place it was out of town, because they might be insulted. But within three, when the microphone's over, we're finished, I'll tell you. But within 3 minutes, you had 600, 700 people on Shfaya Mamash. Dancing. So Rabbi Nachman says, Ken yesh b'nin simcha. Kik yesh odem sameach. Because when a person works to be b'simcha, tries to force himself to be simple. As I am a reshchayer of Yisurim, the stalkim and atzad. Then you can drive away the sadness and the depression. Of a mighty Yisraelis, Amitz Lirdof Achim a reshchayer davka. He says there's even a bigger madrega. So you besimcha, and when you besimcha, you forget about all the things. Nashani lekim, you forget about all the sad stuff. But there's a bigger madrega. The bigger madrega is what? To go and to grab that part of you that's depressed and sad and force it into the dance. Mm-hmm. Bring it into the dance of your life. Bring it into the simcha. To put into that perspective of bringing it somehow into the simcha as well. Then you see that the one that was sad is now dancing and happy, even that part of you that's in pain, that has difficulties, can join into the dancer, Nachum says. Shehapech hamar shchayr b'chol yisurin l'simcha, which is the idea of Adar, which is v'nahafeichu, ashiyesh b'layhudim hayim b'simcha, which is, it's a month, 2 months, of being able to turn things around. So to take that, which is depressing and sad, to turn it around, mamash. V'nahafeichu. Because if you work on this, on this midah of simcha, and it's on your list of things to do, and you work on it, then it's possible. You're able to somehow turn around all of the daigas, all of the worries, all of the aggravation, all of the sadness, to somehow to transform it into joy, and to bring down a shef of joy, and then all the things that you're going through could even miraculously turn around, like Purim. But it happened by Purim. Shechoyte from Marashchayra, grab the Marashchayra. Marashchayra means the depression. Umachnes Oyesa Bal Karach L'Torcha Simcha, and forced it into the Simcha, into the dance. Kamoshal Anam. Shabachinus, that's the pasuk in Yeshaya. Sosn v'Simcha Yasigu. You have to run after Yasigu. When you want to catch up with something. Sosn v'Simcha Yasigu. V'nasu Yogan V'anochem. And all yogan vanocha will disappear, will be taken away. Now I just want to end this, because we're finishing up these weeks of Shoivavim now. Tisava in the leap year is the last week of Shavuot. So we're reading these parashiyos now of building the Mishkan, which, as you all know, and there are many, many tirus that are written on this, that each family tries to build in their own home. It should be a Mishkan, each community, and so on. But imagine the following. We're all zeichah baruch Hashem to go to Simchas, to go to Chasanis. And after the Chasana, like two or three weeks later, you have the pleasure of seeing the Chasana Kala walking together, and they're, you know, giggling, and they're having this nice walk together. And the person can stop and to think for a second, to try to imagine, what's this couple going to look like 5 years from now when they're walking down the street? And what's this couple going to look like 5 years from now? Well, forget about when they're walking down the street. It's the end of a day. It's the end of the day, and this one was working, that was working, and they're just sitting around the table and whatever, drinking a cup of coffee or tea or soda, whatever it is that they like, and they're sitting around the table. What's the measure of joy in that experience of quietly sitting with the other? It's not other bays. It's not Purim. It's not Chasna. It's not Shevet Brachos. It's not the newlywed. Not the newlyweds on their honeymoon. It's just a day in the winter. And the end of it could be the end of a difficult day in the winter. The work didn't go well. Or the kids were giving a hard time. Whatever it is, it's not a particularly great day. So the test of a relationship, the test of ahava, of love, the test of a relationship, is not the big event. It's not what they're advertising in the magazines. It's not the big event. That's not the test of what your marriage is like, of what your life is like, the big event. That's not the test. In other words, Purim is not the test. Purim, like the expression goes, Purim is only one day of the year. The Jews had an expression like that because they were able to drink on Purim. They were able to, in the old days, and they had terrible sorrows, and they were able to forget all their problems because they would drink on the day of Purim. But there was always an expression that Jews had because Jews are very realistic also. And they would say, you know, Purim is an ein tag, you know, ein tag. Purim's only one day. We're going to wake up from this, and it's going to be back to the Cossacks and the pogroms. Purim is one day. The test of your life is not Purim. Purim is Gevaldi, but that's not the test of a person's life. It's a simple day, and nothing exceptional at all is happening on the outside. And you don't need there to be some great external stimulation of some big event or some exciting show or something fantastic to happen in order for you to be able to be in that place with that person. The question of a relationship is whether or not the two of you can generate and create and be marbim b'simcha in an active and proactive way, to be marbim b'simcha. Or with chiyus. And the same way that with every couple, there are times that they hurt each other. In the course of years being together, you hurt each other. There are things that were said that shouldn't have been said, things that happened that shouldn't have happened. And there's some pain and there's some hurt. And the avoid of idus and shabbos simcha in a relationship is to try to forgive and to forget. To try. To overcome that. To try to bring even those difficulties into the dance somehow. And that there should be 2 months of Adar in your relationship, not just Purim, and waiting for those days of Purim. And it's really the same thing that a Jew has with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody's talking now during the war, of course, everybody's bitochen, to trust in Hashem, and so on. But we have to feel, with all the pain that we're experiencing, to be able to still feel joy. I had many, many chevra were asking me, before the midwinter break, many were asking me, is it okay to take the kids? You know, there's so much going on now. Maybe it's not right to take the kids to on a vacation. There's so much. How can we go on a vacation with this? Others are the
the chevra are in Gaza, and my kids are in Orlando. It's all yafe. And there is something to be said for that in halacha as well. Of course, when there's a tsar of the rabbin, when there's a tsaris rabbin, when Am Yisrael or communities going through difficulties, we have to empathize, and on every level we have to empathize and to feel that and to change, to make adjustments in our lives and so on. My answer to that question was that the children don't understand any of this, and please don't make them miserable. They're looking forward to it the whole year. And you could tone down things a little bit, you know, but make sure that the children are the simcha. But it's not only that. It's much deeper than that. And this is really so much from the Baal Shem HaKadosh, what he tried so hard to bring to the world. It goes back to David HaMelech. David HaMelech said, "Vani kirves alukim litoiv." When things are not going particularly well and there's some scary stuff going on in the world, when you're with somebody that you love, you're just sitting around at the end of a hard day and you have a cup of coffee with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech said, "I enjoy that." Vani kirves alukim litoiv. Vani kirves alukim litoiv is like toiv lev mishnah tamid. The tzaddikim were very, very realistic. Toiv lev mishnah tamid, they knew about it, and they lived through pogroms, and they lived through plenty of tsaros. Just like Yosef HaTzadik. Kama Yosef, it's this song on Yosef Mizem Yizmor, that's from the Hanan Ben Ari, what's the Gamani Cholem Kama Yosef, Gamotiza Kula Bor. I also had dreams like Yosef, and they also threw me into the pit, just like Yosef. Kama David and Yosef Mizem Yizmor. But like David, I made my service into a song, into a dance. It's unbelievable. If you can't enjoy having a cup of coffee with Hashem at the end of a hard day, it means that you're missing Kirvas Elokim. It means that you're just waiting for other bays. You only like God when he's giving you a happy time. When he's giving you a good time, then, it's Gevaldik, it's Purim. Everybody likes God on Purim. That's when he's most popular on Purim. Tisha B'Av. It's not high on the list. Purim, everybody loves the version of Purim with Kribit Purim. But when it's a difficult time, then the question is there relief? Is there depth to this relationship? Does this relationship transcend the circumstances and conditions that we're living through? If it doesn't, then it's sort of pathetic and sad. You're just waiting to have something to make each other happy or to forget to make you forget your tzaras. But if your relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu and with each other, if that's a relationship of Ani Kirves Elokim Litov, Litov. And I was just being with you, just being a Jew. Rabbi Nachman wrote about this many times in his tefillos, and the tzaddikim spoke a little smart with Simchas Yahaduso. When nothing else is going well, you could just think about the simcha of being a Jew. Ani Kirves Elokim Litov. And that's why Chazal tell us that description of Olam Haba ein b'lo achila v'lo shesia, in the world beyond this world, there's no eating or drinking. Olam tzaddikim yoishvim v'atvasem b'roshayim. The tzaddikim are sitting, the crowns, whatever that means, on their heads. V'nenem miziv ha-shechina. And they're delighting in the presence of the Shechina. So the tzaddikim say that for some people that's going to be Gan Eden, for other people that's going to be Gehenna. You can already think of somebody saying, "Oh, this is boring." The party is over. There's no Purim. There's no eating. There's no drinking. Just enjoying a quiet cup of coffee with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So for one person, what could be better than that? That's Mamash Olam Haba. Just like for that husband and wife, it's an Olam Haba. Just, they don't have to be in the French Riviera. It's an Olam Haba to be able to just to be together wherever they are in the world. It's an Olam Haba. It's the best thing in the world. For another couple, you can give them Pesach on the moon. It's coming up in a year or two. You give them Pesach on the moon. Nobody's had a Pesach like this. Your matzah is going to float into your mouth. And there's still going to be tzibrach. They're still going to fight and be broken. Because why? Because they heard that somebody went to Jupiter that year. I ended up, my husband only brought me to the moon. What kind of husband do I have?
My husband goes to the moon. If it's missing the vani kivus of the kimli toiv, it doesn't make a difference where you are. And when you have that magic of kivus of the kimli toiv, even chalili, you're in concentration camp. It's terrible. It's the deepest pit, worse than Yosef Tzadik. It's the most horrible thing. But you get up and you continue. If you have him, let your rakiat imadi. And that's your Elam Haba. So instead of telling you a story, I'll teach you a song. It'll take a minute. Actually, as you all, you can actually look at the words. One of the fellows picked up the words. Let me tell you the history.
Thanks, Dan.
Let me tell you the history of this. I'll put it on. I'll tell you what this is about. There was an album that we were zeichet to be involved with putting out from the Nigunim, a very, very remarkable person by the name of Michael Shapiro, Michal Shapiro. And the shul with Shlomo Katz and my son Ushi, we really were spearheading the, and Azriel Gans, we're really the ones who were making it happen. And we put out an album like 4 or 5 years ago. It was before COVID, I don't remember. But I think it was four or five years ago we put out the album. You might remember, some of you might know Only You. The song also about Havas Olam Avtich and Everlasting Love. The songs, so there are many, many songs in this Michal Shapiro. But what we wanted more than anything, so now there's going to be 4 songs coming out in Mishnah over the next few weeks. Four new songs. New songs that are 40 years old, 45 years old. But now what we wanted more than anything was to have Michal Shapiro himself. He sang on the original, but he does not want to do it anymore. He's already older, and he doesn't want to do it. He's very excited about the project. Shlomo Katz is really take charge. Last time you remember, we had Yosef Kaduna and Shlomo Eitan, a lot of the Chevra, and Chaim Dov and others, which we're also having on this album. And there was some that were not on the last album. And this is actually Michal Shapiro himself singing. So the song that was originally that he sang originally around 45 years ago, and this is actually from the tape that was missing. He didn't sell them in the stores. You have to get them, the whole ways of getting them, the tapes. His songs are the most magnificent in the world. You have to listen to it a few times. So this song, called Holy Man, they actually were able to use with the computer to redo Michal Shapiro's original, with the music, that it should be more up-to-date music, but with Michal Shapiro's original song. So there's supposed to be a microphone here, but there's no microphone, so I hope you'll be able to hear it. I'm going to play it, and then we said it's going to be coming out, but I can send it to any of you. So this is just the thing that I wanted to do, so I hope it's okay. You hear me for 2 minutes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Am I in trouble? I didn't ask before. But follow the words if you can. 1 or 2 are wrong on the page.
That's right.
The first chaver in the world to hear that. Hashem should cure the pain in the heart of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.